Pop Spotting 154.
Thursday, October 27th, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Pop Talk and Trivia Thursday, where we let our listeners take the wheel and drive us to their favorite spots in the world of pop culture.
Nice.
Then it's a game of low stakes chicken as I shift gears into trivia.
Joining us today is Greg Bueno, and we have known Greg for over 17 years, going back to our crazy college days. He is a musician, a recovering journalist, and a dot-com survivor.
In 1997, he moved from Honolulu to Austin, where he's worked for several tech companies, and he even held his dream job at a music store. He's trying to make the most of the great live music scene in Austin, as it is home of the annual South by Southwest Music Festival.
Welcome to the show, Greg. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
I think people may have gotten the sense during some of the feedback that you send in that, yes, there is some history between us. We worked at Kaleo, the college paper. You schooled us even back then on great music. But you've been now in the wonderful city of Austin that I've got to visit for South by Southwest. How are things doing over there in Texas?
Oh, good Lord. We just had the hottest summer ever on record. We broke the most triple-digit days in a single year. This year, the old record was 69, and I think we are up to 88 or 89. No, I think 90. So, yay global warming.
I mean, we think it's hot out here right now, but it's nothing compared to that. That's pretty impressive. But again, Greg, welcome to the show.
So here on Pop Talk and Trivia, we ask people smarter than us to tell us about three things we should know more about. What is your first recommendation?
Well, I think this for our overall theme tonight or today or whenever you guys are listening to this out there, we're gonna go with favorite albums of 2011.
Oh.
I somehow transported myself 10 years back. But the first one I want to talk about is an album called Circus by a Japanese actress named Kuriyama Chiaki. And you actually might know her as Gogo Yubari on Kill Bill Volume 1.
Mm.
And she is the mace-wielding assassin that attacks Uma Thurman's character, the Beatrix Kiddo, in that first volume of Kill Bill. So she actually recorded a music album, and it was released this year. And it's usually when Japanese actresses make music records or they make albums, it's usually just very, very middle-of-the-road, generic Japanese pop. But I think Kuriyama here, she is cashing in on that assassin bad girl image. She was also in Battle Royale, which is a movie that people tell me I need to see, but I haven't gone around to see it yet. Her album is actually quite a rock album, a rock pop kind of album. You can tell that there's a bit of calculation there. It still very much has a pop appeal, but it is also very heavy on the guitars, very melodic, and her voice is not too bad. She is actually a pretty decent singer. And for me, what attracted me to the album was the fact that my favorite Japanese songwriter, Shina Ringo, contributed two songs on this album.
Hmm.
I mean, they're not her best songs, but it was enough to, you know, catch my attention. And then when I heard the entire album, I was like, wow, this is actually pretty good. Well, anyway, here is a track from the album, and here's a bit of a sample for you guys to listen to. I know that this is actually probably going to be a hard album for listeners out there to find. It's not going to be like easy to find on Amazon.com or anything like that. So you're going to have to kind of dig. There's a site out there called YesAsia.com that you can visit if you wanted to actually get the album. And of course, there are some illicit means to get the album. Not that we advocate anything along those lines, but here's a track off of the album. Shocking now, body picture.
Hakikaga, shite kuru, atama wo kakata. So that sounded great. What is your second recommendation?
Well, the second recommendation is actually going to be a modern classical album. Actually, it just got released a few weeks ago. It might be too early to consider it a favorite, but I actually like a lot of the performers on this album. It's Steve Reich, who's the composer, and you've got Kronos Quartet and So Percussion on this album, and it's called WTC 911. That's actually the string quartet that Steve Reich had written for Kronos, and he used the same approach that he used for an earlier piece called Different Trains. With Different Trains, what he did was to take the Kronos Quartet and he overdubbed them. He had them go into the recording studio and play additional parts. And in live setting, Kronos would actually play against those tapes as well as these pre-recorded voices, or he would take excerpts from these sound recordings, and he would actually notate the voice recordings. And these are just regular speech that actually has some musical quality to them. He would notate that, and the quartet would play along with it. So this is the technique that he's used in numerous pieces, and it was something that he pioneered with the Kronos Quartet. And for WTC 911, what he did was actually take 911 recordings and the control tower recordings from September 11, 2001, and he actually used that as musical source material. This is a very emotional piece. It's very heart-wrenching. When you're listening to that first movement that has these recordings, it's very, very profound. And the other two movements in this piece also include interviews with people from that day, and he does the same thing. He'll notate the musical phrases, and it's a really good technique. It's something that's very particular to him, and this album, or at least this particular work on that album, is just very, very, very moving.
Well, I know that you've been a huge fan of Kronos Quartet for as long as I've known you, and they are a very experimental band. I mean, right away as you're describing this, I'm already starting to feel a little tense, a little nervous. I mean, it sounds like a very challenging piece to get into, a challenging release.
Oh, yeah, it is. And in fact, there was actually a controversy with the album cover when Nonesuch Records had announced, or they published, here's what the cover will look like. It was actually a photo of the first tower burning and the second plane about to hit the second tower. And people were just outraged that they would actually use that image as a cover. So Steve Reich said, you know what, this is not what we want. We don't want people focusing on the cover. We're going to change it. And they changed it to something that is just as disturbing, at least to me, because when you look at it, it looks like blue sky with clouds. That's what you think it is. But then when you take it in context, it's actually the rubble of the towers falling down. So actually, now that we're talking about this piece, why don't we actually listen to the first movement? And here is the first movement of WTC 911 from Steve Reich, performed by Kronos Quartet.
They came from Boston on an airline, and I heard it sound.
Well, Greg, thank you for sharing that. I mean, it certainly sounds like Kronos. It certainly sounds like a provocative pick. So definitely thanks, Greg, for introducing us to that one.
And what is your third recommendation?
My third recommendation is All You Need Is Now by Duran Duran.
Ah, the latest album from them.
Yes, definitely. Actually, I think this is one of their best albums. It's the first album I've liked from them in about 14 years. The last album I liked from Duran Duran was Midazolam in 1997, which is when I moved to Austin, in fact. And that album was actually very, very ahead of its time. Nothing sounded like Midazolam at the time it was released, and nothing else really sounded like it since. And I was kind of disappointed that it didn't get as much attention as it did. But essentially, the last three albums that Duran Duran has made, I just could not get into it. In fact, I'm kind of a lapsed fan. There's part of me that really hopes that they break up, because there's just a part of me that thinks their legacy would be so much more appreciated if, you know, we knew that there would be no more Duran Duran albums. At the same time, though, I'm kind of torn, because this album, Mark Ronson, who produced it, really knocked it out of the park. The thing that was missing with the other Duran Duran albums of the past decade was that the producers just did not get out of the band the kind of melodies that they are so expert at writing. I'm a big Duran Duran fan. I pretty much know just about every song. I seek out all the alternate takes and things like that. Especially with the Astronaut album in 2004, there was actually enough material from that era to make a completely different album, and probably a far better album than the one that came out. And I think I would put the responsibility on the producers, who just couldn't get that Duran Duran. There's this certain Duran Duran melodic style, at which Mark Ronson, being a very, very a very big fan of Duran Duran, had actually coaxed out of them for this album. And aside from it sounding like an updated version of that old sound, I think the fact that he was able to say, you know, this, let's make it sound like this particular track, or let's make it sound like this particular B-side from that album, got them, I guess, embracing who they were in the past. And I think that's something that Duran Duran hasn't been doing for quite a long time. So, I think Ryan had mentioned, Jen, that you didn't actually think much of the new album.
You know, I haven't listened to it after the first listen. I wasn't impressed with the first listen, but I really want to try again, because I have heard the same thing, that it is one of their better albums from recent years. As a fan, do you think this is a good place to start if you're a complete newbie?
I think it is, actually. It would be familiar enough, it sounds modern enough, that somebody who's young can recognize, hey, this sounds, you know, new. But at the same time, the people who know better, the old folks like us, say, hey, this actually sounds like them as well.
Get off my lawn!
Yeah, I know. It's like those kids' movies where the kids can definitely get in, but the adults can also appreciate, hey, there's this double entendre here going. And I can't believe I just compared All You Need Is Now to a kids' movie.
Well, what track did you want to sample from this new album?
Oh, there are so many, but I think let's just go with the lead-off single from the album, and it is the title track of the album, All You Need Is Now.
All right. Well, I knew it wouldn't be a time spent with Greg without Duran Duran coming up. Jen, let's recap. What were his three picks?
Greg's three recommendations were the new CD by Kuriyama Chiaki, Circus, WTC 911 with the Kronos Quartet and Steve Reich, and the new album by Duran Duran, All You Need Is Now.
A fantastic mix there, Greg. But now that you've scrambled our brains, can we scramble yours with some trivia?
Oh, good Lord. I hope. Yeah, let's go ahead.
All right. Well, on Pop Talk Trivia, we let you pick only two of the three categories we present to you, and you only need to get two out of the three questions correct. Jen, what are Greg's categories?
All Hallows Eve, Gaga for Gaga, and Make It So.
All right, so All Hallows Eve being a movie category, Gaga for Gaga, you can guess that being a music category, and finally a Star Trek category. Which two do you want to take on?
Okay, if Gaga for Gaga is anything about Lady Gaga, let us avoid that at all costs because I do not listen to her. I will have my gay card rescinded because of that fact. I don't mind because I think I would rather listen to Neutral Milk Hotel on repeat than have, you know, yeah, no. Let's go with the other two. Anything right. But the Gaga for Gaga.
Okay, you've got All Hallows Eve and Make It So. Let's start with the movie category.
So with All Hallows Eve, let's see how well you know your horror movie franchises. Number one.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to bomb this right quick. Go ahead.
In the first of many Friday the 13th films, who famously turned out to be the real killer?
The Scream dude.
No, unfortunately not.
No, it was Pamela Voorhees, Jason's mother. Jason drowned in the lake at the camp several years previous. Number two, in the first Nightmare on Elm Street, Nancy's boyfriend Glenn is played by which now A-list actor?
Do I get a multiple choice?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Friday, you know, here's... It was Nightmare on Elm Street, right?
Yes.
I actually had watched that movie, but I don't know if I actually remember anything off of it. An A-list actor these days?
Yes.
Okay, you know what? I have no idea.
Johnny Depp.
Seriously?
Johnny Depp. Yeah. I'm not sure if I'd make him an A-lister, but there you go. Yes, he was in the first Nightmare on Elm Street. All right, Greg, that's okay. You got one more question in this category.
And number three, in the Halloween horror film series, the mask worn by killer Michael Myers was modeled after which well-known actor?
It's just a hockey mask. How can that be, like, modeled after anybody?
No, it's not just a hockey mask.
Okay, I'm totally bummed. I should have just gone with Gaga for Gaga. I don't watch horror movies at all. This is why I'm bombing this category.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of a chicken. I don't watch too many horror movies myself. Who was the mask modeled after?
Jason wore the hockey mask. The mask that Michael Myers wears is modeled after William Shatner.
Yeah, I don't know this category.
That's okay.
I should have picked Gaga for Gaga.
Let's see if you can channel your inner Trekkie.
Okay, and this I might actually have a fighting chance, so long as you're not talking about Deep Space Nine.
No.
It's been 25 years since Captain Picard and crew beamed into televisions aboard the new and improved Starship Enterprise. Let's see how well you remember the show. Question one, most of the crew that we met in the series premiere encounter at Farpoint was still around 7 years later, but who was the first regular cast member and character to be killed off in the show's first season?
That was Denise Richards' character. Denise Crosby. Tasha Yar?
Yes.
Wow. Perfect. Exactly. Yes, she was rather pathetically killed by a sticky tar creature. Very good, Greg. Question two.
Yeah.
The new Enterprise featured a holodeck, which allowed the crew to create fantasy worlds. Two crew members had a habit of recreating their favorite Sherlock Holmes adventures, pretending to be Sherlock and Watson. Who were they?
I'm going to guess Data and Geordi?
Yes.
Very good. Yes, Brent Spiner playing Data and LeVar Burton playing Geordi. Yeah, you have a pretty good memory of Star Trek The Next Generation.
And number three, the crew included one prominent parent-child pairing, that of its chief medical officer and a brilliant young son that often and improbably saved the ship from certain doom. Name the two members of the starship family.
That would be the Crushers. That would be Beverly Crusher and what's the dude's name? I know it's Will Wheaton. Yes. Wesley Crusher, right?
Very yes. Good. Yes, Beverly Crusher played by Gates McFadden and Wesley Crusher, as Jen says, you swept the Trek category despite how you did on the Halloween movie category. Congratulations, yep. Greg.
That was a tough choice, Gaga or horror movies. I think I probably would have gotten the Gaga category much more than the horror category. But I'm actually amazed that I actually knew that much about Star Trek.
Me too, and I'm actually now feel even closer to you, Greg.
Now, if there were some Voyager questions, I probably would have aced those as well.
Well, stay tuned for those. Or, in fact, maybe you could send those in for a future guest. But, Greg, we want to thank you for finally, at long last, joining us here on Pop Spotting.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
Now, before we let you go, is there a place where people can find you out there on the interwebs? If you got a website or a Twitter account folks could follow?
Actually, I would like, well, you could visit musiccorps.org. I won't guarantee that there's actually any great content, recent content there on there, but you could probably find out more about the type of music that I spoke about today, especially the Kuriaki Chiaki album. I might actually mention the Duran Duran album a bit here and there. Nothing like an extensive review. But mostly these days, I'm actually posting a lot of my own music on eponymous4.com. Or if you wanted just to like see any of my sites, that's gregbueno.com.
Fantastic. And you can follow Greg on Twitter, I believe, at NemesisVex.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Greg, it has been a distinct pleasure having you on. We hope we can see you soon, either here in Honolulu or maybe back out in Austin.
Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Aloha.
Laters.
We do love sharing the voices of our brilliant listeners and, yes, some of our close personal friends. We love learning more about stuff that we need to know about. So to join us on our Thursday shows, you only need to have Skype and something to share.
Whether or not you're up for the hot seat, we do hope that you'll consider sharing your feedback on Pop Spotting. There are many ways you can do it. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net, or you can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
You can also post your thoughts on anything on our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting, and there other listeners can join in the conversation.
You can tweet us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting, or you can look us up on Google Plus.
Gotta love that Google Plus. We will be back tomorrow with another serving of Pop Spotting feedback.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and thank you guys for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen.
Happy trails.